In the meantime, we do have a few pieces of news that are out there right now, and this is really crazy. I mean, you know which states are the red states and which states are the blue states. Here we go. We get to play that Dr. Seuss game again. One state, two state, red state, blue state. Los Angeles School Board has now fired 496 unvaccinated employees. This is the nation's second largest school district, folks. 496 people let go on Tuesday for not complying with the district's coronavirus vaccine mandate. You know, that kind of leads up to something, because if you switch to the other coast, to Florida, there is a new organization out now called Operation Freedom of Choice, which is much more than a nonprofit group. It is the heralded voices of United Frontline Workers brought together by necessity to get together and act as an umbrella for awareness, a call to assemble, an offer to support in a fight for our freedoms and rights at a time in history that could never be more important. And fortunately, they have the backing of Governor Ron DeSantis down in Florida, unlike Gavin Newsom, who basically wants to be a communist dictator. If you give these people the power, this is what they do, folks. They take advantage. And those of you listening in California, we're sorry about that. Florida's one step ahead of you. And mandating vaccinations has never in the history of our culture been a thing necessary to create a system. It's more about power. It's removing our constitutional rights for those who don't comply. And it's contrary to the endeared foundations set forth by our founding fathers. And with me on the microphone here is Jason Wheat. We've had Jason on the Power Hour before, and welcome back, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always great to be on the show and getting to talk to you.
Well, the last time that we talked to you, you were literally fighting for your job, as well as 599 other firefighters out there with the Orange County Fire Department EMS units, correct?
Exactly, yeah. We were in a firefighter, not only our jobs, but our livelihood and our families as well. And we were actually representing pretty much every fire department in the state of Florida, because we knew if they were able to mandate and terminate us for the vaccine, then the rest of the fire departments around Florida, it was going to come to them as well.
Well, and you can imagine with, that was what, 45% of the force that stood to be eliminated. I mean, that would be a total mess, would it not?
Oh, exactly. It probably would have shut down the whole 911 system in Orange County. And, it would have been detrimental to the citizens of Orange County, which, you know, we're trying to protect and take care of them.
Wow, that's crazy. So now you are doing media relations, but you're testing the waters to see if you want to run for mayor of Orange County.
I want to do whatever it takes to try to, you know, beat the tyrant of the mayor that we have, what he's done to not only us, firefighters, but also other healthcare workers and everything in Orange County. We just got to put a stop to this, and we got to bring back the power to the citizens.
Well, this Operation Freedom of Choice was started by firefighters from all the fire departments throughout the state of Florida, right, in early September this year?
Right, exactly. So it was just a group of 6-7 firefighters, myself, Wendy Williams, Corey Williams, Jorge Hernandez, Lou Gobi, Maria Bernard, and from then it's grown down to where we have 10 U.S. states involved, we have 7 countries, and we have 16 Florida counties. All in the organization, and that's all been within 4 months.
Okay, now let me ask you this, because of the fact that obviously nonprofits can't do a lot without funding.
Right.
So what have you done as far as funding?
Well, we've been reaching out different organizations. We've been asking, you know, just regular citizens for donations, and also we've been getting help from different firefighter unions, like Miami-Dade down in Miami. Union actually donated us money. The Hialeah Fire Department, West Palm Beach Fire Department, all those organizations have been able to donate us money and keep us going. And now we're getting donations from all over the country now. So the more we need, the fight has just begun.
Right. Now, what about as far as the unions and whatnot? Are you still having this conflict with the firefighters union that you were having before?
With our union, yes. Our union has shown us no support at all. And so we've been in a constant battle with our union, our union president. We feel, you know, he's more on the commissioners and the mayor's side. So that's been a roadblock for us. But we're getting a lot of support from other unions in the state of Florida, whether it be, like I said, Miami Beach, Coral Gables, City of Miami, West Palm Beach. It's just nice to see the togetherness of the fire departments to be involved in our organization.
Right. Now, you have had experience with people that you know personally, and I don't know, because we're trying to refresh what is going on here with your decision to actually fight getting the vaccine mandate. You've actually lost people you know due to the jab.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've had a really good friend of mine, one of my best friends. His stepmom actually died from the vaccine 12 hours later, died of blood clot, but a massive heart attack, and also a product of Spirit Airlines as well.
And do you know which vaccine they took? I like to use the jab. Everybody says vaccine. This is, folks, this is just crazy. I mean, we talk at the shot. In Ireland, you don't say the shot because that has a whole different connotation in Ireland. But, you know, we call it the jab for a reason. And that is because they want this needle in every arm. And, you know, this is all because of some, you know, thing that got into the head of the guy that lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that has the mental acuity of a two-year-old. So, you know, this is the problem that I've got is that, you know, you guys now have become the front line.
Right, exactly. And we're not only including firefighters now, we're including all frontline workers. We got nurses involved as well. Everybody that's been on the front line since day one, we're trying to reach out and get them included and get them the protection that they need so they don't lose their job.
Right now, as far as what Operation Freedom of Choice is doing, have you actually set up a website that people can go to?
Yes, we do. We have a website, we have a Facebook page, we have everything like that. So the webpage will be operationfreedomofchoice.com. And I got the president here, Wendy Williams. She can.
Oh, yeah, we got to get Wendy in the microphone here. So we'll let you turn the microphone over to Wendy if you want to pull that towards you. Folks, we are live, and so one of the things that, you know, we have to deal with is just a minor technical difficulty. But Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. Thanks for asking. Freedom of Choice. So you are the president. Tell me your operational directives. What are you looking forward to doing in the future besides just taking on now, from what Jason was saying, firefighters, nurses? I mean, everybody's jumping on board. Where do you see this going?
Well, what we want to do is we want to be able to strengthen numbers. We want to unite. We want to help people structure and get organized so that they can fight these fights in their departments and their counties and their cities. We also want to bring attention to what is going on to the community. Because when you go after your frontline workers, your doctors, your nurses, of course your firefighters, and your police officers, you're going after some of the strongest and strong. As firefighters and being attacked by this mandate, this forced vaccine mandate from our tyrannical mayor, Demings, he went after us, and we believe because we're the strongest. Firefighters, we do not have fear. We run into burning buildings. We go to some of the worst scenes that you can see, car accident-wise. We see things that keep people in the dark for days and not want to come out. But you know what we do? We go back to the firehouse, we get cleaned up, and we go back to that next call. So we feel as strong as we are, firefighters, as strong as we are with LEOs, and as strong as our nurses are and our doctors, if we all unite and come together and work collectively, the continuity that we can have to fight this, especially the strength in numbers, is what we would love to have as a platform and to push out into health. As Jason said, we are also international helping. We are domestic helping in our state of Florida, as well as national. And so we are very proud patriots. We are veterans. We have come together as a community, not just to protect our rights, but to fight for freedom on American soil as veterans and to fight for our children because we want to fight this fight. We don't want to pass it on to our children.
Sure. Now, you actually are a firefighter?
I am. I'm a firefighter paramedic almost 23 years.
Wow. Good for you. and that's good, because I mean, I like to see, you know, they all like to see diversity. The left likes diversity. So guess what? You know, we have diversity here, but the thing is now you've got nurses and everybody else on the front line, which is good. Now here's something that totally blows me away, Wendy, is that you guys, looking at this thing from a 40,000 foot view, you were, before this whole thing started, you were crawling into a COVID petri dish nonstop, were you not?
Exactly. And some of the things that was the unknown that you tackle is what us as firefighters are built and trained to do. I'm a former Marine.
Thank you for your service.
And I'm telling you right now, I let go of fear a long time ago. And you just charge at it, you tackle it, and you do the best you can, and you adapt and overcome. And when it came to COVID and to the different, I should say, restrictions that were given to us as frontline workers, a lot of us had COVID. I had COVID, so I have the antibodies. So to be forced against my will to get a vaccine that is somewhat still in the incipient phase of growth, because honestly, it's under, you know, an emergency authorized order. You cannot tell me, hey, even though you had COVID and you have the antibodies, why don't you go get this vaccine and we're going to force you. And if you don't, we're going to take your career. We're going to take away your right to be able to feed five of my children. And my husband is a firefighter paramedic as well. Mm-hmm. So you're going to take away everything we've worked. My husband and I both have over 20 years of service, our pensions, everything, our livelihood. And you want to take that away from us because why? Because the vaccine that you put out that you think that we need to take when a lot of us have the antibodies for it? Like I said, never in my life did I think as a Marine Corps veteran that I would be fighting for my rights on American soil. And I will tell you, as I see it, as I see it right now, no man or woman on this earth is going to tell me what to do with my body as a woman.
Bully!
Hoorah!
Hoorah! Yeah, I love it. And see, the reason I have a favor to the Marines, even though I served in the Army during NUM, the thing about the Marines is that, you know, they put up with a lot more, I think, than we did. And Army Jeeps have no reverse gear. That's a Marine joke.
Oh. We're gonna need some crowns, all right?
Yeah, that's a Marine joke. All right, so this scenario, you want to, I think, from Operation Freedom of Choice, since even though you're a nonprofit that started in Florida, other states could jump all over this and incorporate your game plan.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, we're a family in the fire department. We're making sisters and brothers, and we're here to unite. With the strength and numbers and what it's going to take to fight this to get our country back and to get it back to the people out of the hands of politicians who think they know what they're doing and they think they're saving lives, why don't you leave the life saving to the professionals? And that's us, your doctors, your nurses, your firefighters, your paramedics, and your law enforcement officers. And why don't they just stick to the legislations that are supposed to protect our freedom, not take it away?
Wow. And she's the president. See, you're media relations, but she talks a good line, Jason.
Oh, yeah. We need the tough side. I'm more the nice side. So that's how we work well together.
They say every soldier needs a Marine with them.
There you go. There you go. You got to love it. When you need a victory, you call them Marines, right? Yeah.
All right.
So you are connected, providing organizational support to first responders, frontline workers in 10 U.S. states, 7 countries, and 16 Florida counties. And, of course, you're welcoming other people to OperationFreedomOfChoice.com?
No, it's actually OperationFreedomOfChoice.org.
.org, okay.
In fact, if you'd like to contact us, we are more than willing to share information that worked for us and some things that maybe didn't work as well. So it'll be a time-saving gift so that when you're fighting this fight in your local community, in your state, in your country, you can actually go right to us at OperationFreedomOfChoice.org. You can see our platforms. You can see what we're about. If you want to help us fight this fight, there is actually a donation button. We have Give, Send, Go. We have Cash App. We have Venmo. And we are using every resource we can to help people in our community. And a lot of us do this volunteer. We do not get paid. We're coming out of our own pockets to pay for this. This is absolutely a pure, it is a honorable organization where we are pushing out to help save our brothers and sisters' jobs and their careers. And lives in some ways.
No doubt. So now what happens when you get people that are not frontline workers or first responders calling you, like teachers union. I mean, look at all the people here that have been fired now in Los Angeles.
Well, firefighters are very well connected.
Yes, they are.
So if our door isn't the one that's for you, we actually can redirect you to one that you can get similar information for.
Cool.
Push the narrative that you need to fight whatever opposition. Oh, yeah.
Now, are you speaking here at the convention?
I am not.
Okay, but you're here, and is there a reason why you're here?
We're here to bring out the fight. We're here to show that the red line is here from the state of Florida, and that Operation Freedom of Choice is out there as a resource for anybody that needs help. We are also working with the America Project and trying to get our narrative out, our organization out, so that it is a resource to help others. Because like I said, not only are we lifesavers, not only do we protect fire property as firefighters, we are here to help our people in our community. We are here for our brothers and sisters, and we are Operation Freedom of Choice.
All right. Now, I'm going to get your reaction to this since you're the president. The Epoch Times is reporting this morning the definition of fully vaccinated in the U.S. is going to be changed. According to Lord God Fauci, the patron saint of Wuhan. Yeah, I call him Dr. Anthony Mengele. You know, see, Laura Logan did that, and she got sidelined at Fox. I have no problem. I've been calling him Joseph Mengele. He's a Nazi ever since we started this broadcast. So, you know, he says it's going to be a matter of when, not if. Fauci is the head of the NIAID. I mean, there's so many acronyms out here. It's like I have a new acronym for the Omicron virus. If you take and jumble the words around, it spells moronic.
Moronic, that's right.
Yeah, you got that one, right?
Yep.
And that's this whole thing is, it's like, you know, when I've been talking to other doctors on the air, it's like, okay, so which one isn't? You know, it's nothing but fear-mongering. And so you had COVID. And you got over it.
I did. I am a survivor.
You had it too.
I got it as well. And I still, like I tested the antibodies 2 months ago, and I still have the antibodies 17 months later.
Okay, now, monoclonal antibodies, I've had a lot of frontline doctors, and I don't know just how plugged in you are to the medical side of this thing. A lot of them have challenged it because monoclonal antibodies are kind of like in that experimental stage as well. Were you aware of that?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Okay, and so, but it's worth the risk, in your opinion, or do you think, and I'm not asking you to give medical advice, I'm just talking from your perspective as what you're doing here is Operation Freedom of Choice. You have the same right to go get monoclonal antibodies. I mean, Governor DeSantis set up, what, 15 at least centers that you can go get treated in Florida?
So I think one thing that we value here in America is the opportunities, and having treatments available to us is definitely where choice comes in. And if there is a treatment there and someone thinks it's for the greater good, then I would say that's a personal decision to make. Listen, if you want to wear a mask and you believe it makes you feel safe, and wear it. It's not for me. I know that most of them, aside from an N95 and up, are basically protecting against allergens and the size of the virus will actually get right through it. But that is the education that I have. As I said, I am a paramedic for 20 years.
Right.
I also am a preceptor, so I teach it. So I know which kind of masks that we are fitted for and trained for properly actually protect from viral issues. If you want to get a vaccine, that is your personal choice, okay? If you think it's going to benefit you and help you out in your personal situation, then be it. It's not for me. I choose no. And as for certain treatments that may or may not help you, that is a personal choice. As a woman, as an American, and as a Central Florida resident, I do believe that you should have that opportunity, and those sites are there that have the greater good, and you think it's for you.
Sure. Now, the scenario with, look, for example, in the last Clay Clark symposium, Reawakening America, that was held down in San Antonio, I was looking at some tape from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who I'm sure you're probably familiar with, one of the frontline doctors out there that is fighting for all of us. She basically was kind of asserting that once you take that jab, there's no going back. You're stuck with your decision. I mean, this is, you're either going to put God as your number one, or you're going to put Fauci as your God, and you're going to trust the government. How many, I mean, millions of Americans have implicitly trusted the United States government, and I just don't, they're in the wrong direction. I mean, this is, I liken this like the movie, The Poseidon Adventure, and everybody's on the ship, and Gene Hackman's yelling at everybody, no, you got to go this way, the ship is sinking that way. No, we're going to follow the purser knows. I mean, this is, the purser is like Fauci, he's leading all these people to their death. So, you know, and folks, right here at the symposium, the Reawakening Tour with Clay Clark, I was seeing T-shirts out there about Fauci lied, people died. And, I mean, these things are going like hotcakes. So, you know, there's a lot of booths here and everything else, and I hope that you guys get well settled into what is going on and you get a chance to talk to people and really communicate, because, I mean, there's a lot of neat people and speakers out here. America's frontline doctors are all over the place at this, and we're going to have one of them on the show soon. But Wendy Williams and Corey, you have anything you want to input?
She pretty much covered
everything. She covered everything. Okay, good. And Jason Wheat, man, we have finally got a chance to meet. I really am very thankful that you decided to take a stand and not let your union boss get in your head and mess things up. I know it's been a rough struggle, but I see this thing moving forward, and I really hope you take into consideration the potential for unseating him.
Oh, yes, definitely. We need to do something. So. And I appreciate you having on the show, and I just want to tell everybody, you know, our organization was fought and started because we had nowhere to go. We had no help. We were looking for help. Our jobs were on the line. And we decided to form. We decided to stand up. And that's how we got to save all the jobs. And that's why we need to get the business out there, get the business out not only in Florida, but across the United States, and actually come together. Because, like Wendy said, power and numbers is a great thing. And that's how we were able to come to what we have in Florida and get the governor and actually be on our side. And that's what we're out here to get L.A., Chicago, New York, get all these frontline workers, you know, to be able to keep secure their job and get these tyrannical mandates out and for good and never come back.
Well, before we go, I want to ask you about the lawsuit, because obviously the government pays attention to lawsuits. Every turn, every decision Biden has made has been a bad one, and there's a lawsuit out there where a federal court has said, nope, you don't get to do that. And no matter what the government says, they still can't prove that, you know, we need to have a vaccine, which this is not. And now the FDA has now stretched their 55-year figure to 75 years for the test results. What's your take on that? What's your reaction when you hear the FDA talk that kind of garbage?
I just think it's ridiculous. And then also, if you're hiding behind the rock, you know that something's up with that, and it's not right, and you've got to get to the bottom of this. We need the lawsuits. We need the law on our side, like the new laws that are going to pass in only 18 months. And then also, what if the governor runs for president? You know, what if the governor buys? Hope that never happens. You know, with the way the voting is going, he gets unseated. Then we're back to square one. So we need some type of law out there that concretes, that makes these mandates unjust, unlawful, and unconstitutional, so that we have the backing of the law and not only the laws out there that the governor and Sanders put on. So that's why the lawsuits out there all over the country, our lawsuit.
And then, of course, Ashley Moody put an amicus brief in your lawsuit as well. And so now what's the momentum of the case? Is there no ruling yet? Or?
Well, actually, we are still fighting this.
Okay.
So, Orange County is
trying to dismiss it.
A lot of it is tied up a lot of money and time to try to completely wear us down or hasn't been done by the We have to work overtime.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Urban Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Purely C, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Clark's Reawakening America Tour. Dave Prieger with you on the Power Hour. It is 11:31 Central Time, December 9th, 2021. If you are listening to us at any other time, yes, you obviously are hearing a ton of ambient background noise here because we are in the media room and there are a lot of people conducting interviews. That's right. Reawakening the series. Believe it or not, episode one is available now. And reawakeningseries.com, that is the website you can go to. And, of course, you have a crowdfund, too. I am talking to and sitting right across from Joy Thayer, who is the CEO and executive producer of SparrowPictures.com. You might want to talk right straight into that microphone so people can hear you there, Joy.
Thanks so much for having us. I'm here with my husband, Matt, who is the director of the Trump I Know and the Reawakening Series, and I've been producing both projects, and we're having a great time being here.
Wonderful. All right, so this scenario with Reawakening, you actually put together and you went into the White House and did a video with President Trump and I'm assuming his staff and everything else. Could you give me the 40,000-foot view?
Yeah, so that was the Trump I Know. So that was the project we did right before the Reawakening documentary. We got to go in and visit. Interviewed the president in the White House and 31 women within the business, the family, and the campaign. And then this year we've been going around with the Reawakening Tour and we have done 82 interviews right now of these different doctors, elected officials, politicians that have been speaking out and helping give them a voice.
Yeah, we're just packaging up the all of the information that's here at these events, right? We're packaging it into just a documentary that you'd expect to find on something like Netflix or Amazon Prime or something like that, that kind of a quality, where you can sit down for an hour, be entertained, but also learn. And we're bringing in not only the people that are at these events, we've talked to Mike Lindell, of course, General Flynn, and Clay Clark, and we get to know who he is a little bit more, get to see him in his hoodie and his hat, you know, and stuff like that. But then we also brought in William Federer. I don't know if you all know who he is, but
sure do.
Yeah, an extraordinary historian who brings us back in time and tells us about the tyranny that we faced as a country prior to the revolution and how it's very similar, ironically, to the tyranny that we're facing today. And so our heart was to create a documentary series that you could put in front of somebody that's just now awake, but also somebody that has been awake for a long time. I learned something while I was making it as the director, and I've been paying attention to this stuff for decades. And so we wanted to create something that was both, like I said, entertaining and accessible to people that, you know, may have been to the conferences, may not have been to the conferences. It's just all of that information packaged in that kind of documentary format.
Now, so is this kind of a scenario here, obviously, because it's Trump, they would call you Trumpers or whatever, yeah. Whatever. I look at politics as a two-sided, a two-headed coin. You got Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other, but it's still the same coin. You've been dealing with President Trump head-on. I mean, you've gotten to meet the man. You've gotten to, you know, pretty much get inside of his head. I understand that he's a jokester when you have him alone. Is that right?
Yeah, no, we actually got to be in the White House with him, and we only got to spend with about 20 minutes. We were supposed to have a lot longer time. You can find that in the documentary, The Trump I Know. And if you go to the Reawakening series and buy episode one, you get The Trump I Know for free right now as a bonus. So it's like a two-for-one deal. But anyway, but yeah, no, he is an extraordinarily gracious man. But we did get to actually interact with Matt and Mercedes Schlapp, who know the president very well. And Matt does one of the greatest impressions of President Trump that I have ever heard. And he's just telling the stories about how he's talking to the president while he's sitting there on the bench watching his daughter's basketball game or volleyball game. And then all of a sudden his daughter's like giving him the evil eyes. He's like, I gotta like break up with the president on the phone, you know, because the president's just talking his ear off. But he was telling us jokes and just like what the president was doing. It was really, really great experience to be on that project and get to know some of these people that you only see behind the television camera, up close and personal.
But Matt Schlapp was actually on the video doing all of this, is what you're telling me.
Well, no, actually, we didn't get that, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, that was
when we were just standing around eating pizza and salad. But
the privilege of going to interview Kaylee McEnany and her dad and her husband and everything. And it was such an honor just to go into these women's houses and meeting even Laura and Eric Trump and Kimberly and Don Jr. And it was just such an honor to find out who the president is, you know, behind the camera as well as in front of the camera. And he is one of the most kind, generous, authentic people that you would ever meet.
Well, the other interesting aspect of this is the fact that you were able to go out and meet all the people who actually interact with him on a regular basis and get their feedback. I mean, Kaylee McEnany, not just because she's an attorney and a beautiful woman, a Christian, but this woman just gave so much to that campaign as a press secretary, unlike the redhead we have in the White House now. I mean, this is like night and day between the two of them, because I mean, you know when Jen Psaki is lying to people.
Yeah.
And Kaylee never did that. If Kaylee wanted to shut you down, she would shut you down. She's a really strong woman.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, you have found out a lot of the interpersonal quirks about these people and how they operate in their interaction with the president during this. Did all that come manifest in your video?
Yeah, I think that we did a really good job of just asking them questions, and Matt had the idea to do long cuts so that we didn't stitch something together that people thought were manipulated or anything. And so I think it really gets their first-hand experience of the president.
And we also interviewed several of the women when they were interacting with their children. That was, I wanted to do that as a professor. You know, I don't, when people say, oh, you're humanizing, it's like, well, yeah, they're part of that. But what I wanted to do was I felt like we were going to get the most authentic responses from women who were just feeding their kids or just hanging out with their babies. And you were going to get really, really good authentic responses from them in that environment. And we did. And what was really great is that, like, these people are just so genuine and so authentic. Like, Laura Trump is, like, the most gracious woman I think we've ever met. And she's just, like, when we got there's, like, 12 film crew. And she's like, are y'all hungry? Like, there's the pantry. Just help yourself. You know, she's vacuuming and stuff like that, barefoot. You know, she's in between media hits, you know. And she's just really great. And she's just there feeding her daughter and telling us stories about how she met Eric and, you know, how she got put on the campaign and, you know, all this stuff. And it's just, you know, you can't help but just feel like you're in the room with these people. And that's why we shot it the way that we did. Like Joy said, with these long takes where people can just experience it and not feel like they're being manipulated into an idea.
And one of the things people should know is that Eric Trump will be speaking at this event, I believe, on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's going to be really great. I'm so proud of Clay and, you know, and then the Reawakening series and doing some of the behind the scenes and talking to Clay and General Flynn about how these events started. And then now to have Eric Trump coming, you know, to one of these events, I think it's just such an, I'm so proud of Clay for doing what he's doing and getting out there. And it's just a feather in the cap for the event.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so to find out more information about this, you can, I mean, most people would like get on their DuckDuckGo and type in Sparrow Pictures and get your website.
Well, no, you probably want to go to reawakeningseries.com. That's reawakeningseries.com. And there you'll find access to our pages where you can buy packages, where you can access the first episode of the series. You get the Trump Bino for free. And then there's other packages, because really what it is, it's like a crowdfunding, because we're crowdfunding episodes 2, 3, and 4, because we only have the finances to create the pilot. And so the pilot's out there now. Everybody's really loving it. We've got really great feedback. Mickey Willis said it was one of the most powerful and profound pieces of filmmaking that he's seen in a long time. And coming from somebody like Mickey, who makes such beautiful work, I took that as an extraordinary compliment.
Sure. Now, he has also just put out the book Plandemic, which I picked up a copy of outside in the hallway. Folks, you're not here. You're obviously sitting with the radio. But the thing is, when you walk up and down the hallway, you feel the energy and electricity moving around in here. All these Christian people getting together in one place. And basically, the thought process is the same. This is government overreach. We don't like what's going on. We are saying no to this on so many different levels, and this is just one prime example. Joy, we really appreciate you. I wish everybody would have name tags.
So, Matt.
Yeah, Matt. I thought so, because when I was getting Matt Schlapp, I was thinking, now it's got to be Matt. So anyway, just to have him on, I think it was a cool thing that you would have the insight straight on what's going on in the White House. These people are actually a lot more genuine and I think a lot more transparent than the Biden administration has ever been since it's been in office. So anyway, well, we really appreciate you. And once again, the website is reawakeningseries.com. That's where you go, folks, and you can dial that up. And the people who are sitting in front of you right now, their work is right there in your face, and you can't miss it. It's one of the reasons why we decided to get here, and we want to thank our producer, Catherine and Jay, you know, because they're the ones that made all this possible and getting us out here. And so thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you. We really appreciate the time.
All righty. Sounds good. All right. Now, back to the news. We've got more guests coming up, of course, in the noon hour. But in the meantime, we have some other news and things we need to address here. The NIH has now said that no documents exist, according to the Epoch Times, explaining why officials decided to remove the definition of gain-of-function research from the NIH website, according to the Epoch Times. The site used to include a 232-word definition of the research, but they took it down. The agency disclosed that the research it funded in China met the definition. The alteration took place sometime between October 19th and the 21st. And it's just one of those crazy things that, you know, we have to tell you, the Epoch Times, as a matter of fact, they're on the front line. They submitted a Freedom of Information Act request for any communications and other documents from between October 1st and the 25th relating to the change, which had been authorized by the NIH Office of Communications and Public Liaison. The request was closed this week. The NIH told the Epoch Times it does not have communication on the change rather than what's on the updated page. So what can I say about that? There's a lot of nefarious nonsense going on with the government. Folks, we have had people on this show that have been on the, they're basically very prolific writers, and they have been on and focused on and contributed to a publication that we've had their speakers on here before called The New America. And we have a gentleman, Kurt Hyde, who is one of the contributors to The New America. And Kurt, your kind of focus is election results.
Yes, well, I like election integrity. I got to get a little closer here.
Just a little. We got a lot of ambient background noise here.
Well, you're not getting it.
Everybody's so excited. They get off the air, and then they want to go talk to people. So this is a good thing. So what the focus that you've basically been doing is on election results. So give us a little view of that.
This goes back to 1986 because and that one I led my students looking at the computerized voting booths coming up then. And that's when I'm the man who started the paper trail movement. You may not know that, but I actually am. We were there in Boston and at the symposium. We even had a reporter there from a major East Coast newspaper. And he put over his head since I did.
Are you going to tell me which newspaper it was?
Yes, I will. Okay. The Boston Globe.
Oh, the Globe. It's been a while since I've heard of that.
I'm sorry.
It's been a while since I've heard the Boston Globe mentioned anywhere.
Well, you know, the whole idea that something could be wrong with the voting machinery, something could be wrong in the voting machinery. Only a handful of people were beginning to suspect me at that point. Well, I was working with my students. And of course, as my colleagues of mine where I worked at the Digital Equipment Corporation, I was only teaching as an adjunct faculty member. And we came up with a paper trail movement. And so my reporter who was there thanked me. I'm okay with him, and he went on to the next. Well, that's back when the New American was headquartered in Belmont, Massachusetts. And so after the symposium was over on Friday afternoon, I drove over to see Gary Benoit, who is still the editor of the New American. I walked in, said hello, tried to introduce myself, and told him what I did, and told him where I had just been to a symposium and about the paper trail and computerized voting equipment. And he got it. He just got it. He said, I think you're right. I published an article. That's how the New American, the very first publication, to do anything to come up with a favor of the paper trail in electronic voting in October of 1986. And don't expect a retraction anytime soon.
Wow, so, but you were telling me earlier, Kurt, that there was one of the articles, I believe it was February, that is still, they're asking for reprints of.
Yes.
Tell me about that article.
Well, that was an article that I wrote at Gary Benoit's request, and it has to do with the steps that are needed to get from where we are now to where we want to be to get our election integrity. Things like crinkling the precinct and trying to get away as much as possible. We need to spend $2, but including the precincts. And by the way, I might add that if you look at New Hampshire, you can find out there's actually an efficient way to vote on election day in the precincts. You know, the two largest precincts in the United States.
Didn't know that.
One's in Hudson, and the other's in Londonderry. They both have about 12,000 voters in one day during presidential elections, which is the week of the president. 12,000 people go to one precinct, and there are no long lines. Why? And here in Texas, I'm asking if they're doing wrong, if they're doing right. Because we have these long lines. Well, in New Hampshire, when you go in there, the first thing that happens is if your last name begins with an A and B and C, you're going one line. And another thing, too, is that they use either paper ballots or they use the marks. Having an optical scan ballot. You see, when you cast a ballot on a piece of voting equipment with an optical scan ballot, you tie up the equipment for about, 5 seconds? If it gets rejected, something comes out a little bit longer, rather than people sitting at a voting booth and using it. Well, you see, that alone is another efficiency right there, is using optical scan ballots.
Interesting.
But also, there are many other things too, but certainly preserving the precinct is one of them, preserving the nature of your ballots, try to reduce as much as possible the absentee ballots,
There's been some, and I was showing you an article or a book that we just interviewed Hans von Spakovsky. He and John Funn had co-authored this book about how the left stole the elections. And you basically brought up a little bit different angle regarding Funn's research versus the research that you did. What was it? You want to elaborate on it? I always like critics. I mean, we need critics out there because it makes us better people.
Well, yes, I've had numerous conversations with John Funn.
Okay.
Great man, and he has done a lot of excellent work in the area of overweight drinking. But one thing about it is that at least the last time, even the last time I talked to him, he still wasn't that open to the idea that maybe the equipment has some security flaws in it that are open to people using the equipment fraudulently or even accidentally making it superior.
Right. Well, see, and the thing is there's 85-plus million people out there that feel just a little bit disenfranchised over what happened November 3rd, 2020. You want to elaborate on that? Why do they feel that way, Kurt?
That was a wake-up call.
Oh, yeah.
That was a wake-up call. For years, I have been writing in the New American about the weaknesses and about the dangers. Now, you probably don't know this, but Thursday before the election, I had a heart attack.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I wound up going in the hospital for triple bypass surgery. But the writings that I did were in the years past, and they were already saying, look out for this, don't do this, look out for that, don't do that. And I couldn't believe my ears when I heard two nurses outside the door of my room saying that they thought this election was stolen. And I said, wait a minute, the word is on the street. What has happened here?
And you were in the hospital when this was taking place.
Well, I wound up being out of the hospital just before election day, and then I wound up going back in when the surgeon was ready to do a triple bypass.
Wow. And so a lot of the things that you had been warning people about in your articles looked like it was manifesting itself.
Absolutely. I feel completely exonerated. I feel completely, it's not just about me and how I feel. It's about we need to make some changes. And I'll tell you what scares me. I don't know if you're watching what happened in Texas, but we recently passed a law that was supposed to have been an election integrity law. It started in the Texas Senate as a very good law, but then it went to the Texas House, and under the Republican leadership, they completely scratched most of the good stuff and put in all kinds of bad stuff, and it was actually an anti-election integrity bill that was passed as if it were an election integrity bill.
What were some of the things that they gutted that the Senate had in place that you disagree with?
Well, one of them was having to do with like election observers, poll watchers, if you like to call them.
Right.
It depends on the state. You can even be called challengers, they can be called all kinds of reasons. Now, having worked as a poll observer in Texas, I know what some of the hostile people do. Like, they'll just actually walk up to you, no matter where you stand, so that they claim you're in their way. So there were some protections in there. Poll watchers were going to be allowed to bring some reporting equipment, electronic reporting equipment. Right now, that's a class C misdemeanor. In any case, it's against the law. And so now, if I get in there and some guy says, you are interfering, you weren't observing, you were interfering in the process. It's just my word against his, you see. So we were going to have some really good information. And instead, they got rid of that good stuff. And then they went one step further over to the dark side. And this doesn't sound bad at first, but it's horrible. And that is, they now have an order to be an election observer in the state of Texas. You are going to have to take a course given by the Secretary of State and have satisfactorily passed their course in order to be appointed as a poll watcher.
Wow. And see, the thing is, too, is that, you know, intimidation at the polls, all of that stuff seems, that doesn't seem to be a real big issue these days. It's what's actually going on inside the polling place that's more of an issue.
Well, yes, there's all kinds of stuff. And another problem that we really have is that right now, like you say, you can't bring any recording equipment with you if you're a poll observer. And so therefore, you don't have evidence. You're a witness. You can see something wrong. But you're only allowed to be there while you are voting.
So this is like a he said, she said equation when it all comes down in court, if it even gets that far.
Yeah, that's right. And see, and we were going to have the observers empowered to be able to take video of what was being done. And we have some, in fact, one of those people is actually here today, one of the volunteers we have out at our table. And he was telling me when he went to be a poll observer in Dallas, Texas, and they said, okay, we have to let you in the polls. But they had them behind the stacked boxes so they couldn't see what was going on. They said, we allowed you in here. We have to allow you in. That's all we're doing.
Yeah,
we're
next to you.
Well, can you imagine? Can you imagine going in there telling you you can stand over here behind boxes, but you can't see what anybody's doing? Is that called a poll observer? What proof does he have? Because if he's brought a recording device with him, he'd be guilty of a misdemeanor. And he'd wind up in legal trouble for it.
Even though you have evidence to show that this nonsense is going on.
Yes, and guess what else? If you gather that evidence illegally, try using it.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly. What are the fruit of the poisonous tree?
Yeah, you see, and this is just, and what's happening is that we need to awaken the American people. These people are great. The people who are here are great. This is a wonderful group of people. And you know what you do better.
Well, yeah, I have, and there's 3,097 seats inside that auditorium, and it is packed. The show is oversold, folks, and they're going to be in other places in the near future, too.
And we need them everywhere. We need these people everywhere. We need election integrity everywhere. We need people everywhere. Listen, we got the good people here. The only thing wrong with those people, there aren't enough of them.
No doubt. Well, and see, that's one of the reasons why we decided to come and participate in what was going on, for just because of the fact that this is like outreach for us. And I think it's one of the first times that we've ever actually done a convention of this nature. And it's wonderful to have you here and to get your take on what's going on. You obviously have seen the flaws in the system. And that's always something that's bothered me, too, is everything that happened in November, alleged suitcase that was under the table and it got brought out and the toilet leaked and it was, you know, in the urinal, and you come to find out the whole thing was fabricated. I mean, you really got to take a weird look at the system. There's something terribly wrong with it.
Yes. And the ability to keep the observers out, and not just in Fulton County, Georgia, but even in Philadelphia and other places, kicking the observers out. Did you know, in fact, I'm finishing a book right now, and the book was the history of America's elections. And did you know, like, I actually found a copy of New York's elections.
Wow. You gotta love that. All right. Well,
it was public.
I know. It was public back then. We are out of time. We're back to the break. Jake Freer with you. We're
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.